Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley.
And Beth Jacobson.
And thank you for joining us this evening. We created the show as a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality.
And you can now listen to us two times a week, Tuesdays from 7 to 8 and Fridays from 3 to 4. You can also follow our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. If you have any questions, comments, any insight, any suggestions, you can email Marie or Beth at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. And we also do private parties, we do corporate settings, we do individual goddess parties. We do it together, we do it separately. You can reach Marie at 651-303-0555 or Beth at 651-941-36. Welcome to Tuesday, everybody. Tuesday.
Yes, Tuesday. And also, if you, did you talk about our Facebook page?
Oh, jeepers. No, I forgot.
Don't forget, please go in and like our Facebook page. We are trying to grow our page, and we do pick one person a month to get a free 30-minute reading. So if you like us, you get into the pool. And if you have missed any of our shows, remember they are archived. And so if you go to the Blog Talk Radio, Divine Goddess Radio page, you can catch up on any of our shows at any time. And tonight's show, we have a guest with us, Dr. Deb Heim. And she has a healing method called Orchid Mist Healing. So she's going to be talking all about that and letting us know what that is. Welcome, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, Beth. Hi, Marie. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for being on. We appreciate you taking your time with your busy schedule and coming in onto the Divine Goddess Show. I appreciate it very much, and I know Marie does as well.
It's my pleasure.
So, Deb, would you like to let our listeners know a little bit about your background and how you developed this healing method?
Huh. Well, it's kind of an interesting story. My dad always told me I was going to be a brain surgeon. From the time I was a little kid, he kept telling me I was going to be a brain surgeon. I actually thought about being a lawyer, but once I got into college, I know.
Oh.
Once I got into college, I was really very interested in medicine, so my first degree is pre-med biology. And I was thinking about medical school through the years, so one of my very strange jobs was working as an aide in surgery at the U of M. Fascinating, learned a lot, but I also realized I like the preventative end of medicine. Mm-hmm. And my dad had seen a chiropractor on and off through the years, so it was not an unusual field for me, mm-hmm. and decided to change course and go to chiropractic college. But in my first years in practice, I started losing sight of my hands. It looked like they were going inside my patients. And luckily for me, someone I had met in chiropractic college practiced right down the street from us and then came up and worked in our office. So I just started asking her questions because nothing like this had ever been talked about in my family. So I had no frame of reference. But she was very strong in metaphysical beliefs. She was an astrology practitioner, took me for my first reading, and started into the psychic development courses. Over time, so I've taken, I'm a Reiki Master 3, I've taken the esoteric healing classes, I've been through all four levels of Spring Forest Qigong, and somewhere in the middle of that, they just started blending and then turning into something totally different, and that's Orchid Mist.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Very, very interesting.
So
your clients that you work with, do you do a blend of this Orchid Mist along with chiropractic care?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
It's very hard for me once the energies really started flowing and I started working with it. It's very hard for me to stop it.
Wow.
It just comes so naturally to me.
Okay.
And whatever source I'm tapping into, it just flows with the chiropractic, but it also enhances what I do.
Okay. Okay.
As far as the chiropractic care goes. I can do the Orchid Mist on its own, and I do frequently, but almost never is it just straight up chiropractic anymore.
Wow. Oh, how interesting. So how long did you say, I'm sorry, that you've been doing this?
I've been in practice as a chiropractor almost 25 years, and the Orchid Mist has been developing, but really, I brought it, I actually named it and brought it into the practice 4 years ago.
Okay.
So what exactly is Orchid Mist? Do you want to describe what that is? To the best of your knowledge, I guess?
It's an energy healing technique that works across the dimensions. So when I'm working with a client, I put a portal between us, and actually I received the portal in the fourth level of the Spring Forest Qigong classes. Master Lin had led us into a meditation, and about halfway through there's flashing lights going off all around me, and then this huge symbol was in front of me, and it turned out that was actually the portal that I used to transmit this energies. So as soon as he brought us out of meditation, I am madly scribbling this picture down just so I could get it and not forget it coming out of meditation. But I looked up, and he was looking at me, so I know he realized something had happened. At the time, I knew it was important. I didn't realize it was the portal. It took me a little while working with it to figure out what that was. So the work of Orchid Mist actually happens in the fifth dimension, putting the portal in between me and the client. The energies flow through the portal, and it's the best description I can give you. It's a universal translator because we all run at different frequencies. Mm-hmm. So as your guides channel the energy through the portal, it hits you at the frequency that best works with your body.
Oh, okay.
But then the work is anchored here in the third dimension because this is where our physical bodies are, and this is where we need to be right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. So did I hear you correctly? Through the portal, you work with each and every individual's spirit, or their guides, and then they'll bring through what it is that each person needs?
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Wow.
So when you have a practice, and when you get a new client, do they know that the healing comes through, or are they just booking for like a regular chiropractic session?
Are you asking me if I openly tell everyone?
Yes.
Yeah. She's doing the back door of asking.
No, a lot of times the new patients will come to me referred through the various insurances that I'm a provider for.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, if they're referred by my patients, a lot of my patients do know that I do energy work. And in that case, it's just a known topic. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, someone will just ask me a point-blank question. Like a couple weeks ago, someone again just, I was working at their head, and she opened up her eyes and said, "So, do you see auras?" No, not your typical question in the chiropractic office, but it was how she opened up the topic. So she was sensitive enough that she knew energy was flowing at that point. So I do get a little of both, but whether I knowingly tell someone energy work is going on, not always. It really depends on the patient because some of them, there's just a sense that they don't want to know.
Exactly. Now, you know, I have a question for you, Deb.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. You said you didn't tap into this until how long ago?
The actual Orchid Mist.
Yes.
It was developing for several years, but really 4 years ago is when it came together enough that I felt like there was something cohesive enough that I could use that wasn't just Spring Forest Qigong, or it wasn't just esoteric healing. And like I said, I am a Reiki master, but I have never done a Reiki session with anyone in my life. There are parts of it that I use, but I received the attunements because I was going into esoteric healing. Mm-hmm. And my teachers thought that it was something I should have on board before I went into esoteric healing.
Yes, yes. Now, looking back at what you do now and how long you've been doing it, do you remember any experiences as a child or a teenager with your hands and the energy that was flowing through them? Now when you can look back at it in hindsight and knowing what you know now, do you remember, like, when you touched yourself, heat that came through, or people making comments when you touched them?
It's been a long pattern that people will just sit down in front of me and have me work out sore muscles.
Okay.
Even when I was working at the U, I would have people stretched out over the work table working out sore muscles in the back. That's not an unusual thing.
Yeah.
Our pets would always just sit, would let me sit with, like, our cat now likes to just have his head right into my right hand. So my fingers are up and over his forehead. My thumb and pinky are on either side of his ear, and he'll just sit like that as long as I'll sit still.
Oh, interesting. Okay, you said a cat, so do you work on animals as well?
I've only worked on my own animals.
Okay.
I have done a little bit of energy work with other people's pets, but only in an emergency until we could get them to some of the chiropractic vet. There's animal chiropractors now in this state. So until I could get them lined up with an animal chiropractor or someone I know who does Tellington touch.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I haven't had the animal chiropractic training yet, so I'm really not comfortable with it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay, so I have a question. I went to a chiropractor for like 2 months, and basically it was walk in, sit on a chair, crack, crack, lay on my stomach, push, 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 and then throw me in a massage chair. So how does what you do differ?
We are all different.
Okay.
We all work differently. Even the clinic I work at in Columbia Heights, at one point there were four of us working there at the same time. We all went to Northwestern down in Bloomington. Not a one of us adjusted alike.
Oh, okay.
There are different adjusting techniques. I take a lot of time with my patients. I probably take too much time. But I do, if a new patient comes in, I spend about an hour with a new patient.
Wow.
But with my follow-up visits, they're about a half an hour.
Oh, wow.
Well, but I do all my own muscle work, and I do the adjustment, and I do three primary adjusting techniques. So it really is a matter of what is your system tolerating today?
Oh. Okay. And then when you're doing that work, are you aligning the chakras as well? Is that part of?
Yes, because that's part of the orchid mist.
Okay. 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 So then are you going in and then you're checking every time to see which chakras are out of alignment?
I sense that as I'm going up the spine because, as you know, the major chakras line up with the spine.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm continuing to find a sacrum, you know, the large triangle bone at the bottom of the spine, if I'm continually finding that out of balance, I'm for sure going to look at the second chakra.
Okay.
But I'm also going to talk to them in whatever language works with them about their grounding.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So do you... do you get messages for the people that you work on as well?
Sometimes.
And do you give it to the people that you're working with?
I am honor bound to do that, yes.
Only if they're open to it.
If I sense that they're not open to a message that way, I will ask it in a question form.
Okay.
With some people I can actually say, you're showing me a picture of blah, blah, blah. Like, they have no idea how they hurt their back, but as I'm working on them, I may see a picture of them bent at a funny angle, so I can ask about that.
Oh, all right. All right.
Hmm. So I was reading some couple things on your website, and you have a couple things like plumb line balance and angelic wing opening. Can you explain those?
Yep. The plumb line balance is what I do most of the time when I'm working with my clients now. It's the basic balance. It lines up all the chakras, all the organs and joints attuned to those chakras, but it also connects you from the core of the planet to the source.
Oh.
It lines you up on all three axes. There are times when I do this with my chiropractic patients at the end of an adjustment, they get off the table, and if they feel a little woozy, I will especially do it then, mm-hmm. because a lot of energy has been flowing at that point. So what it does is bring them back physically present with me. So when I'm doing that, I will have them focus on my left eye and try and hold focus on my left eye while I'm lining these things up. Sometimes we have to go through it a couple times just to get them all the way back. But that's what it's for. So it can stand on its own, but it can also be done at the end of a chiropractic session or at the end of all the healing sessions. I also do it simply because it's a lot of energy work.
Sounds like it. And then what was the other one?
The angelic wing opening. That's a different package. It also does end with the... It ends with the plumb line balance, but as I'm doing the wing opening, I'm actually walking you through the grounding and bringing the core energy up, having you bring the universal energy down. So you're grounding and aligning that way. I have you bring in the gold light because that, and then sending that out beyond the bounds of the aura, because that gives you a safe place to work in.
Once
the universal energy is coming down from source and is in you and mixed with the core energy from the planet, then the alignment, the energy comes up through the chakras, it crosses the diaphragm. There's some triangles within the heart center that need to be lined up, and then some triangles up in the head center that also are lined up. And once those align, the angelic field is, there's actually a wing chakra between the shoulder blades, mm-hmm. but there's another chakra called the Alta field, and as that unfurls, some people call it the Well of Dreams area, but those two actually meet and join with the centers that are in the heart center. So as the field opens, it actually feels like your wings, the angelic wings, are opening.
Wow.
So I walk you through moving those around, and sometimes you just, one of the reasons to open them is you just need a hug. So you open your wings and you can wrap them around you to give yourself a hug or hold yourself secure. It also is really energizing to open them up and spread them full width. It feels really, really good. But there are also times that you're working and you need to be in that very focused, very divine place. When I'm working with my patients, whether they're energy work patients or whether they're my chiropractic patients, that field is open on me. And it has to be. I need that level of energy, especially when I'm doing the orchid mist work, so that everything is lining up just as it needs to be. So once that alignment is done and the wings are open, you never have to go through the opening again. However, if you continue to work on yourself and you're learning new abilities and you're opening yourself more, making your frequency higher and higher, it can be tuned up a little bit, but it's never like you have to go through the whole opening again.
Hmm. Fascinating.
So when you have like a pain or it's really tight between, you know, your shoulder, like right between your shoulders, a little bit lower. Is that the location of where your wings are?
The wings actually come out between, from about the middle of the shoulder blade right up to the base of the skull.
Okay. Look, we're feeling our back.
Like, is it right here?
It's really tight here. This is where I'm always tight. I wonder if my wings are always stuck.
Well, okay, the question is it actually your wings? Or do you need to open your heart center more? And sometimes it's both.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's both for me. I know it's both for moi.
Huh, interesting.
That is. Now, Deb, did you take Reiki before the forest Qigong?
Yes, I did.
So do you think that was a catapult for you in opening up, and then along came the Qigong, and it got you to the place where you're at? Did you feel that you benefited from the Reiki?
Yes, I did.
Even though you haven't practiced it?
Well, what I use in it is the dragon fire. And I use the dragon fire at different intensities, depending on what I'm doing. But I also use the Reiki release an awful lot.
Oh, okay.
And in the Reiki training, that's where I actually first learned how to time capsule a treatment. So if I'm working on someone and I need to time capsule so that it releases, maybe gives them a little blast every hour or again in a couple hours, you can time capsule that intent, that energy and that intent. Esoteric healing can do the same thing, but Reiki is actually where I first learned that.
Oh, that is interesting. I've never learned that. I would love to know that.
That's interesting.
Very interesting.
The Qigong, I had actually talked several of my patients into taking the classes, and I finally just said, you know, you're talking everyone else into taking this, but yet you haven't done it. And I was hooked.
Normally,
just like esoteric healing, they want you to put about 6 months between the classes, simply
mm-hmm.
because it gives you time to practice and time for it to all filter in. But it felt urgent to me.
Exactly.
So I took all four levels in less than a year. Wouldn't recommend it, but
wow.
It was urgent in my case.
Now, are you able to teach it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have not gone through. You have to take the levels several times, and there's also teacher training. So I do teach my patients some of the active exercises of Spring Forest Qigong, just simply because it's good movement. Some of my people who've been in car accidents don't have the flexibility to get down on the floor and do getting down on the floor. But you can get some movement in by doing the balancing of the yin and yang, the moving of the yin and yang. It's very gentle exercise that can be done seated if that's what they need. I also teach it to some of my senior citizens because it's easy motion for them. And, you know, as we get older, sometimes our shoulders hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exercises that you can use with your arms closer to your side but still get some motion and get some good breath work going.
Mm.
So I can teach the active exercises simply because I know most of them, but as far as teaching a level, I can't because I haven't been through the teacher training yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a question that your patient asked you. Do you see auras?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So when a patient comes in, you can actually see. Do you see, like, if they have holes in their auric field, and you can see all of that?
Yes. I see the color. When I have my patients face down on the table,
mm-hmm.
even sometimes when they're face up, I will run my hand, I will run my hand down the length of them. So I'm feeling the energetic flow, but I'm also feeling if there's, say, an area that is unusually hot,
mm-hmm.
or if I find a cold place, or if I feel a nothing. Because there are places that sometimes we just have a void. We just don't have energy flow. So we'll work on that, but going through and finding the hot areas and then going back and actually physically looking in the body, is there something there that is inflamed? Is it know, like an acute sprained ankle is going to run hot. So energetically, if you run your hand above the skin, you'll feel the change in temperature, but you'll also feel the change in the energy with that.
Can you see lifetimes of stuff that create blockages in the body?
I think I probably could if I looked at it, but I try not to delve into past lives.
Oh, okay.
My personal belief is if there's something in a past life that will truly help me with something today, then yes, I want to know about it.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's a been there, done that, can't do anything about it.
Yep. Okay. Makes sense.
Hmm. Now, if you have patients that come to you from a different chiropractor, do they comment when they leave that, God, they feel really extraordinary, but they don't know why?
And they will always tell me what the difference is. And
they will.
If people have come to me from a different chiropractor, I always make sure to find out how they've been adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
Some people honestly don't like the manual adjusting. They don't like the sound of their joints moving.
No.
And they strongly encourage us in school to learn more than one technique, even though Northwestern teaches primarily manual diversified. They also do introduce us to various techniques, and it's up to you to explore the ones that you like or that work best with your body. And
okay.
The clinic I did my last term in, that doctor did probably 90% Thompson, the drop piece tables, but he also used an activator, the little clicker device.
Oh,
okay.
So two lower force adjusting techniques. So while I was with him for that term, I did take a Thompson class, and that actually is one of my primary techniques now.
Okay.
Yeah, because for me, every time I heard my neck crack, I was like, I did not like it.
See, some people don't.
Ow.
Some people love it and love that sound.
Ugh.
I have some older patients who would really, really, really like me to manually adjust their neck, and I won't. There's too much arthritis, and I'm just not comfortable with those joints.
Yeah, the one I was seeing, he popped a riblet out, and I never went back to him. So, painful.
Ribs are always a thrill and a joy.
Yes.
You know, I have a question for you. If somebody has a leg that's shorter than the other leg, would that be more of maybe the first two chakras that are out of balance, out of whack?
It could be.
Could be?
It's possible that it is an energetic shortness. It's possible it's mechanical. So you have to look at how the pelvis is actually hooked up since the legs attach to the pelvis. But some people do anatomically have one leg shorter than the other.
Oh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I think doesn't everyone have, like, isn't everyone off, like, maybe an, like a eighth of an inch or a sixteenth of an inch or something really
Yes.
off?
And a lot of times that's actually mechanical. It's
okay.
How the lower back and the pelvis are meeting each other.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What would it be if somebody has really bad problems with ankles? What would be something that you would look at? Well, a lot of people are complaining about their ankles, their feet, and their legs right now.
There's a lot of crappy shoes on the market right now.
And it could be that.
I'm sorry, let me say that better. There are a lot of badly made shoes on the market right now. There are a lot of shoes out there that have absolutely no arch support.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to have our arches supported. As the foot hits the ground, the force of the impact travels through the ankle, up to the knee, up to the hip, up to the low back.
Okay.
But if your arch isn't being supported and you drop the arch, it will take out the knee and it will turn the hip.
Oh, well, there you go, folks. There you go. She just answered it. She answered it for you.
you know, there's, like I said, there's some really badly made shoes out, but you can also go into the foot care aisle at your local drugstore and get the little hidden arches that stick into your shoes that will hold up the arch of the foot. So every once in a while, you just have to have that pair of sandals that are really, really cute.
Yeah.
But they have nothing to support your arch, and that's what you put in them.
Okay.
Oh.
And then just don't walk in them all day.
Oh, that's the key, not walking in them all day. Oh, that's funny.
So, okay. So if you have someone who, let's say, suffers from low back pain, you know, where it's, let me see, I'm trying to think, not like, you know, like the base at the bottom of your back?
Mm-hmm.
You've got that little in between the dimples?
Yes.
Is that, I mean, I know, okay, so can that be due to ungrounding as well as, like, your hip joints or something out of whack?
Yes. It can be ungrounding. It can be something, and that's something you always have to think about. What is going on in a person's life? Is this a foundation issue?
Oh.
Family and foundation are right in that area.
Oh.
So that's something you always want to talk about. And I do talk to my patients a lot. We probably talk way too much, which is why I spend a half an hour with them. But I know what's going on with my people.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So, Deb, what insurance do you take just for somebody out there going, what insurance does this lady take?
Medicare, Medicaid, Blue Cross, Health Partners, Cigna, and UCare.
Oh, wow, that's quite a few, quite a few. And then for those who don't have insurance, what do you charge for at the time? Like an hour, is it an hour session in the beginning?
Yep. That first hour is $50, and after that it's $40.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Very reasonable. Very reasonable.
Okay. And you have, did you say you had a couple clinics?
Yes. I'm in Columbia Heights, Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and in Maplewood on Fridays, and I have house calls to a couple of my seniors on Wednesdays.
Oh, okay.
Since
okay.
I used to be in Little Canada, and since I closed that office, I have a couple seniors that I am outside of their safe driving range.
Oh, okay.
And it's just easier for me to go to them.
Okay, okay.
So what about if someone wanted to do the orchid mist healing? Is that a separate service?
Yes.
Okay.
If it's running while we're doing chiropractic, it's just a thing. But if someone wants to do just the orchid mist, then we set an appointment for that, whether it's in the office or out.
Okay.
Orchid mist is not, it's not a billable service. We can't bill for energy work here.
Okay.
Unless some of the massage therapists who are Reiki practitioners can get Reiki covered if the people are hurt so bad that they can't tolerate standard massage. So it's a way of getting them body work without adding more to their spasms.
Oh.
And in that case, the auto will cover it. You have to do a little bit of work to be able to get that through. But that's the only energy work that I've heard that is covered right now.
But if someone wanted to do a healing, you would just charge them for the healing, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And so if they wanted to come to you just for healing, they would just be laying on a table and you would just be doing the healing work.
Sometimes they're on the table. Sometimes it's done sitting up. It really depends on what they're asking for or what their body is asking for.
Okay.
You know, did you say you're a Reiki master instructor or teacher?
No.
Oh, you're not.
No, I'm
okay.
A Reiki 3, not a Reiki 4.
Okay, okay. Interesting, interesting. Well, this is a little off of what you do, but how are you shifting through the energies that are going on in and around us?
My post on Facebook said a cup of chamomile tea would have gone a long way for me yesterday. I don't know what all was going on yesterday, but it was just intense. I don't like Mondays. It's not my favorite day of the week.
Yeah,
but
I hear you.
Just an intense day. It was one of those things, it felt like I had 10 plates spinning and I was being asked to spin two more. And don't drop any of them.
Is it Mercury retrograde?
Well, we're in Mercury retrograde shadow right now. We got 3 days or 3 or 4 days till the retrograde. But I also, June is starting out that way because Mars went direct. Mars was retrograde and it went direct. So that's got everybody going, oh, let me get all my stuff done. Oh, let me multitask. I have 50 things I need to do. So that's probably what you were feeling yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, the list making occurred. So that as you complete it, you can check that list off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and if there are any listeners who want to ask Deb a question, you can call in 347-327-9360.
Exactly. Is there anything else that you're wanting to share that we might be leaving out that you want people to be to know about you?
I hadn't thought about that.
Are you single? Are you looking for somebody else?
Wow.
I better not put that out there, then we'll get all the people calling in here.
Oh.
Yes, single? No, not looking. No.
Well, don't you do artwork or photography as well?
Photography.
You do photography.
I'm an enthusiastic amateur. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that about you.
And do you sell your photographs?
Yes.
You do.
So when you see me out at expos, the photographs that are at the table?
Yeah.
That's my stuff. Oh,
okay. Okay. And then do you have it on a website that people can look at?
I haven't loaded them up yet.
Okay.
If you look at my website, I'm in the process of building that.
Okay.
So some of the photos that are on there, with the exception of my portrait, the photos that are on the website so far are my pictures. But under the doctor's, there's a page on there, doctor's order of art.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be posting the photos there.
Oh, okay.
I had a blog going and thought I would be able to bring it over into this one, and it has not worked. The two programs won't talk to each other.
So what are your photos of? Are they of the outdoors or?
Mostly outdoors.
Okay, okay.
A lot of flowers.
Okay.
A lot of the animals from Donnacomo. One of my favorite photos is the swans from up at the Hinckley Casino.
Oh, yeah.
I was up there a year ago. I volunteer for the MS Society, so the 150-mile bike tour is this weekend. And one of my stations is Sunday morning bright and early at the bike yard. So if anyone needs first aid or a leave or whatever, or if they're just not going to do the ride on Sunday and they need to be on the bus back to the cities, they stop at first aid first. So I had packed up all my stuff and was leaving the casino grounds, and the swans came swimming across the pond towards me. And there was no one out and about at that time, so I just pulled over on the side of the road, and I always have a camera with me. And they actually just came swimming towards me. And it's a really nice picture of the pair, and the water was still enough that I got a good reflection of them. But it's one of my favorite photos.
Well,
and
no,
I like swans.
And that is on your website?
It will be.
Oh, it will
it's
be.
Not yet.
Okay.
But it will be.
Okay. Okay. So you're a photographer, amateur. is there anything else that you would like to share?
Not that I can think of.
And you do, okay, are you doing expos this summer?
I'm signing up to do Kelly's, the Spirit Wellness Center.
Polyhanal. Okay.
Yes. I want to sign up to do that one. There's a couple others that I'm looking at, but I'm not booked yet.
Okay.
And then probably starting in September, I'll line up more. I generally do the Body Lab USA gathering in Hudson. That's in September, and then they're in Eau Claire in October. I usually do those two.
Okay.
Interesting, interesting. I'm trying to think of something that I need
to... And you do the mini orchid mist healing sessions at these expos, correct?
Yes. So okay. I give people the choice of, do they want to do the plumb line, do they want to do the angelic wing opening, or if there's something they want me to look at, then it's just a healing session and I'll scan through and look and see. Sometimes they just want to know what's going on, so I'll just scan through and see what pops. Sometimes they have something specific they want me to look at. And still, I will energetically scan through and then come out and talk to them. And then it's their choice what we work on.
Okay.
Do you have any products? For some reason, why am I thinking that you make products? Like some kind of ointment or spray. Do you?
I don't yet.
Okay, so you're thinking
ma'am,
about it.
And yes, ma'am, you are psychic. Because yes, one of the last times, everyone asks me, is it orchid mist? This has something to do with orchids. Do you make the orchid essences? And the orchid actually has to do more with the color that people were seeing as this energy was starting to come through. But one of the times I was at Half Price Books, I always just scan through the herbal and metaphysical aisles, and a book fell off the shelf in front of me. You know, like they always say, the book just falls off and it's the one you need. It was How to Make Orchid Essences. So I have the book. I know how to do it. I'm just getting all the equipment together.
Oh, okay.
And I need to figure out a way to get down to Como and see if they'd let me just mess around in that orchid room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we do this together... Can I play with some of your orchids? Because various orchids have different energetic properties.
Yes.
And orchid blooms in different stages. Is it in a tight bud? Is it just starting to open? Is it at its full glory? They have different frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So capturing that
and
then putting it into purified water.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, at some point there will be orchid essences. There just aren't yet.
And would these essences be used for meditation or for specific chakras? Or
both and all of the above. What I'd like to do, once I've got them, if an essence is going to be required, I would have the person hold it while we're working so that it gets charged while we're working. And then it would either be in a spray form, it could be an under-the-tongue type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it could, I think it might just be, with some of them, you put a little bit on a cotton ball and just have it by you for an aromatherapy.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be a huge scent on these.
Okay.
Mostly because you expose the water to the orchid.
Yep. You're
not actually putting the orchid in the water. You actually expose it to the orchid, the energy of the orchid.
Okay. Makes sense. Do you use crystals in your work?
Sometimes. In my own clinic, I had a ton of rocks and crystals sitting around. In the clinic I work at in Columbia Heights, the doctor who owns that clinic has brought a lot of rocks from around Lake Superior and all the islands in Superior.
Mm.
So we're very grounded over there. There's a lot of granites, some marble. But I have some of my crystals there, yes.
Interesting.
They've not always been obvious.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just thinking, I didn't know if you know, maybe during a session you would actually use a crystal on the body.
I could. Usually I just draw its energy in.
Okay. All right. All righty.
Okay. So is there anything else that you want to talk about?
You know what I would really like to see here? And I think there have been some attempts at this, but egos get in the way sometime. I would really like to see some healing centers around town.
Yeah.
Yes.
That we could all just collaborate in.
Yes.
I think it would be fun.
As soon as Beth and I, our money falls
that's
from
exactly
the heavens.
That's what we want.
That's exactly what we're working towards.
Well, look, you know, it would be nice as if a bunch of us went in and did it, that we're drawn to each other. That would be the nice thing. Because then,
mm-hmm.
you know, nobody has an excuse. You're all doing this together, and it's a community thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think around here, everybody's waiting for somebody to get up and going. But it's like, you know, if you do it as a community, then it belongs to, you know, with that philosophy.
Yep.
I'm all for it.
I think the healthcare field is changing somewhat. There's some integrative medicine clinics coming up now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Hennepin Faculty Associates has chiropractors on staff, but they're also bringing in some other modalities. I would actually like to see a full collaboration,
mm-hmm.
but with
yep.
our insurance the way it is now, that's not going to happen. Unless people are just brought on staff, the energy workers are brought on staff and paid salary, because insurance, the way it is now, is not going to cover that.
I know. Isn't it ridiculous?
And it's a huge barrier. And I've
mm-hmm.
been an insurance provider the whole time I've been in practice, and there's good things about it, but there's also ridiculously bad things about it.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what everybody says.
Yeah, it's too bad we can't get a lobbyist in with the insurance companies, too.
I bet we could. What,
you know?
We just have to figure out how to do it.
Yeah. Right, because you need somebody in there, you know, you need someone innovative to infiltrate an insurance
mm-hmm.
company.
That's not my specialty area.
We did, down at the Chiropractic College a few years ago, there was an integrative medicine symposium, and it was hosted between the Center for Spirituality at the U, the School of Nursing, also from the U, and the Chiropractic College. And it was a day-long symposium, and it was fascinating.
Oh, I bet.
And some of the legislators came, so they know this is the way we would like healthcare to go.
Mm-hmm.
I will often tell my patients that if you have a chiropractor who can work with the medical doctor or the team of medical doctors, if we can all work together, it's a win-win-win situation.
It is.
When you have chiropractors and medical doctors who work together, it's an unbeatable team.
It is.
You know, when I do readings and I can pick up on someone who has a lot of healing energy in their hands and they are going into nursing, that's one thing that comes through very strongly for a lot of people that I read, is that the guys are saying, tell them to go and learn Reiki. And
yes.
incorporate that into their nursing.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, it comes across very strong with actually more and more people that I read for. It comes across really strong.
It's one of the oldest modalities, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus used it.
Exactly.
Jesus used it. Well, you know, just getting off on that, you know, and I think it's really important that we do talk about that we do live in an area which is Minnesota, especially the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and the surrounding suburbs are inundated with psychics and healers and everything, but yet you don't see a lot of centers
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, available to individuals. So I myself would love to see that also. I would love that to be the mainstream. I would love to see that. That's one of my heart's desires, is to have that open, you know, to have a bunch of us in one location who offer a variety of different modalities to help people with. So one day, Deb, one day.
I hope so.
Yeah.
No, I really do hope so.
Yes.
Well, and I, you know, I actually I have a perfect location. It's not in this country, but I have a beautiful building that, like I said, when my money comes pouring out of the sky and lands in my hands, I have lots of dreams and plans and everything. So,
yes, yes. Well, Deb, this has been absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
I've never really sat down and really have talked to you in depth about what specifically you do. I've seen you at
expos. Well, when we've been around each other, we've been at expos.
I know.
And thankfully, we're working.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, speaking of expos, do you ever do that women's retreat in October in Mankato? I think it's like a 3-day, 4-day. You would be fantastic there.
I've not heard of that.
Yeah, it's a 4-day event. It's been going on for years. And you get, it's just plumb full. And you're seeing more men who are starting to come there. But I'm trying to think if it's more vendors that are women, because I think it's, they don't eliminate the men, but I think it's more specialized just because it's called the, you know, like a women's retreat, but a lot of individuals do that, and it's 3-4 days, and it's a lot of integrative stuff as well. And I think that would be a good place for you to look into. And I know there's a big shindig coming up in October. It's every October at the university.
Huh.
In Mankato.
I know when I was in the esoteric healing class, we did have a male medical doctor who went through the first class with us.
Really?
And he had never worked with energy before, really, really didn't know if he believed in it, but he was actually quite good at it.
Really?
And I don't know if he continued on at some other point. I didn't see him in any of our other classes, but there were actually more men in the Spring Forest Qigong classes.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's what I hear. I've heard other people say that. I need to learn that stuff,
well,
too.
And I think, I know us as women, we're more open about these things. I think men sometimes kind of don't like to be so open. Although I was watching Let's Make a Deal, and one of the contestants, he came down and they asked him, okay, what do you do? And he says, I'm an energy healer. I'm a Reiki master. And I thought, well, how cool that you
awesome.
Have to say that, you know, on Let's Make a Deal. And then the host was saying, wow, I'll have to talk to you because I've been wanting to get a Reiki session. So I thought, well, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Man, it was really cool because they didn't edit it out either. I thought that was really awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is very nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, I hope your patients understand what a fabulous treat they get by coming to you, because they get 2-for-1. I mean, they get an awesome, awesome experience. And they get healed.
I hope so.
Yes. You have fabulous energy, Deb. Fabulous energy.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, if you're going to do the chiropractic, if you're going to go in, get it with the healing, because, I mean, I think that's very important, because you're not just, you know, in my experience, just push, get out, you know. You're actually going out feeling healed. And I think that makes a huge difference.
Oh, you know, I do have a question for you. Do you believe that scoliosis can be healed, you know, later on in life?
It depends on the scoliosis. If it's actually the misshapen bone, then you have some work to do. Some people are born with a wedge-shaped bone. Those are very serious scolioses, though. But if it's the muscle-based one, that definitely is changeable.
Huh.
I have someone I've been working with now for years, and she's got a pretty sizable curvature, and I can feel her unwinding, and she can feel it unwinding.
Oh.
I have seen the Young Living Oil. They have I think it's called rainbow therapy.
Raindrop
layers
therapy.
of essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen that done on people. Actually, I've done that on people.
Okay.
And it does seem to work.
Really?
I had to modify it. I don't tolerate frankincense oil. So So I've never used the Valor on my patients.
Okay.
If they want to use it, they get to do it at home. They just don't bring it around me.
Oh, okay.
But the layering of oils, that actually does relax backs quite well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How long does that affect? Does it stay? I mean, is it permanent or?
It depends on what the person is doing. So you still have to make the lifestyle change. What activities are you doing that are so... Think about the old desk jobs. And before we had headsets for our phone.
Yes.
You cradled the headset between your ear and the shoulder. And then they came up with that lovely cradle. So now we've got this huge wedge. What you're doing is training short and tight muscles on one side and long and loose on another.
Ah.
You can make... You can do that process and create a scoliosis, too. So it's more look at the lifestyle. What are you doing? When a scoliosis shows up in a kid, if it's not extreme, you don't worry about it because they're growing. And both sides of the body don't always grow at the same time. So it's more to take note of it and then do the stretching exercises to help the body even itself out.
Oh. Oh, that's interesting. I was asking for myself on that. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've dealt with chiropractors since the age of 18.
What about if you get scoliosis as an adult?
It's probably come out either from an injury or something that you're doing. They're very careful to tell us in school that, remember, you have to work from both sides of the table. If you think about it, if I'm always standing on my patient's left and turned always to that side, I will train my posture in that direction.
Oh.
So I have to be careful and remind myself you need to work on both sides of the table always and equally.
Interesting. Okay. Oh, that makes sense.
Hmm. Now I'm going to be really mindful. You know what, then it's probably benefits if we have those earplug phone, you know, the earphones that you can wear, those little butt ears when you're talking on the phone, so you can keep your head in a upright position.
Yes,
and
as long as you haven't gotten into the habit of leaning your head to the side. So when I have my patients switch over to headsets, I remind them to just check their reflection in the computer monitor. A lot of people really don't know where in space their body is.
I don't have a clue.
And there you are.
I'm just sitting here going, oh, look at this, look at this. All right.
And I'm slouched and I'm doing...
Exactly.
Wow. Well, thank you, Deb, for being on with us this evening.
Yes, thank you very much.
Very, very
thank you. This was really fun.
Yeah, it was very interesting. So, you know, listeners out there, if you're getting a straight chiropractic session, think about integrating with healing.
That's right. That's right.
You'll feel a lot better. So, thanks again for being on with us, and we will catch everybody on Friday at 3 p.m. for Phone In Friday.
Thank you, Deb.
Yep, thank you. Have a great evening. We send you love and light.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.